Ryan, given the way the second half of the season played out, did you consider making a move at any point before the end of the regular season and maybe giving Vic Fangio a look? And if not, why not?
You know, no, we didn't. Our guys are playing hard, competing, and that is a credit to Coach Fox and what he's instilled here. So that was never in consideration.
This download here at 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Oh, that far too familiar feeling of doing radio segments talking about what the Bears might do to improve in the offseason. It seems like that's a no-brainer for myself and Adam Hoge, who spent last offseason talking about what the Bears are going to do to improve upon their 3-13 season. Well, they finished this season 5-11, so I guess that's an improvement. They lost, if you weren't paying attention, most people weren't, on New Year's Eve? That Sunday. A woeful way to the Minnesota Vikings. Just the kind of game you were hoping to see some spark, a team that might show off a little bit moving forward with Mitchell Trubisky, a team that just had some soul and some spirit, but not the case. The Bears were just pretty much lifeless on the field up in Minnesota. But now the season turns to the offseason. Of course, John Fox fired. Chicago Bears right now up in Minnesota. They might be back, but they've got a lot of interviews on the table. Adam Hoge joins us all season long for the Monday evening quarterback tonight. The Thursday evening quarterback, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Adam covers the Bears for WGN Radio. You find all his stuff at WGNradio.com/Bears. Adam, great. Happy New Year, and great to talk to you, buddy.
Happy New Year, Justin. I believe Bear Force One is still in Minnesota right now, scheduled to interview Pat Shurmur, the Vikings offensive coordinator, tomorrow morning after interviewing defensive coordinator George Edwards tonight in Minnesota.
Okay, so that would be, so far they've interviewed Edwards and Fangio yesterday.
Correct.
And they've got DeFilippo and possibly Josh McDaniels, I think he showed. Where are we at with the Bears' scheduled meetings when it comes to interviews this week?
Yeah, I can run through it right now. So yesterday they talked to Vic Fangio, knocked that one out at Hallis Hall. Now, because of the NFL rules, you can interview teams with a first-round bye, but you have to travel to those cities. And by the way, this storm out on the East Coast is causing some problems. So the Bears went to Minnesota first today. Talk to George Edwards, the defensive coordinator. Important note there is he fulfills the Rooney Rule requirement that you have to interview at least one minority candidate. So the Bears did get that out of the way today. Tomorrow they will talk to Pat Shurmur in the morning. And then, yes, reportedly they will fly to Boston then and talk to Josh McDaniels out in Foxborough tomorrow before then going to Philadelphia and talking to John DeFilippo, the Eagles quarterbacks coach, on Saturday. And then Matt Nagy, the Chiefs offensive coordinator, is on the deck for next week, but they play this weekend, so that will not be until after. I don't think they can interview him until Monday, technically. So that's where it all stands, and take it all with a grain of salt because of the storm out on the East Coast. I don't know if that could impact travel plans tomorrow.
Would that be the list for the Chicago Bears? I mean, do you see more people coming, names surfacing as the process continues?
I would expect there to be more. There could be a couple college coaches that are interviewed that we never hear about. I think they'd eventually leak out if they happen. But those will not necessarily be announced by the Bears. The Bears have been announcing their interviews so far, but would not be surprised if they don't announce college ones, just because those are really sensitive. You're talking about riling up an entire fan base, depending on which fan base it is, and you don't want to do that if you're not necessarily going to hire the guy. So we'll see. There could be some other assistants that pop up here and there as well. Steve Wilks, the Panthers defensive coordinator, was reportedly one of their targets, but so far that seems to have died down. And I hate to talk about this Rooney Rule like it's a check mark, because it's not really fair, but unfortunately the implementation of that rule is sometimes, you know, you're required to interview one minority candidate. And so some teams just interview one and that's it. That's just how we have to talk about it sometimes, unfortunately. So, but I will say that George Edwards, the Vikings defensive coordinator, I don't think the Bears are going to hire him, but beyond the Rooney Rule, it's great to talk to coordinators from within your own division, just to to pick their brain and get some ideas on what you're doing offensively. I mean, don't you think they got something out? I mean, this guy coordinated defense against Mitch Trubisky on Sunday, like just a few days ago.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, that's got to be great to be able to go in there and talk to George Edwards just about what you're doing as an organization, pick their brain.
Second question. Mitchell Trubisky on that 3rd-and-8 route.
How did you stop that?
I saw today, I was looking at some stuff, that the national media kind of looks at the Chicago Bears vacancy at the head coach position is one of the more interesting ones that experienced and inexperienced coaches would want to land, because there's a franchise quarterback, there's good running game, the defense is solid. Is that the case? I mean, are people from around the league looking at this Chicago Bears head coaching position and saying, yes, I want that?
I think it totally depends on a case-by-case basis of how these candidates view Mitch Trubisky. I think it really comes down to that, because, yes, they do have at least enough pieces on defense to win by next year if you can put the offense in place. And that starts with the quarterback. So if you're a candidate out there and all of these coaching staffs get involved in the draft process starting as soon as their season ends, usually not until then, the college scouting staffs do it year-round. But as soon as your season ends, usually the coaches are asked to, hey, take a look at this guy, take a look at this guy. So most of these candidates have watched Mitch Trubisky before. Now, John DeFilippo, the Eagles quarterbacks coach, obviously they had Carson Wentz already, so I don't know how closely they necessarily looked at Mitch Trubisky last year. But I'm assuming if he's interested in this Bears job, he's going to take the time to watch him very closely and have an opinion. And, you know, there was a report out there by old friend David Kaplan today that Matt Nagy, the Chiefs offensive coordinator, loves Trubisky, would absolutely love to work with him here in Chicago. And that jives with what I've heard since the draft, in that the Chiefs were really, really interested in Mitch Trubisky and had made some phone calls about trading up for Mitch Trubisky before the Bears ended up doing that and drafting him. At that point, they turned their attention to Patrick Mahomes, who they also liked a lot, and did trade up eventually to get Mahomes. But there could be some truth there with Matt Nagy, the Chiefs offense coordinator, loving Mitch Trubisky. And to me, that is the central question in how attractive this job is.
We've obviously talked about this a lot throughout the season, but the Chicago Bears, of course, it all hinges on the development of Mitchell Trubisky. And the offense, of course, has been one without weapons. We'll talk about that this hour. But is it a foregone conclusion that the Chicago Bears will pick an offensive-minded head coach to come in and coach the 2018 Bears?
I would say it's overwhelmingly likely. I don't think that Ryan Pace is somebody, though, who's going to go into this without seriously considering every single candidate he talks to. And that includes Vic Fangio, although I do think the Fangio interview was probably more to kind of keep him enticed and potentially talk about staying on staff as defensive coordinator. But look, it's no secret how much this organization has invested in Mitch Trubisky. And frankly, if you just listen to what Ryan Pace had to say on Monday, they're putting a lot on this kid's plate, a lot of pressure on this kid's plate. And in doing so, I think he really, really, really would like to pair the quarterback with a Sean Payton-like head coach like he had in New Orleans with Drew Brees and Sean Payton. And really, if you look at everything he's done here, a lot of it falls in line with what he experienced in New Orleans. He was there for 14 years. And you could talk about Adam Shaheen being his Jimmy Graham draft pick. You could talk about Tariq Cohen being his Darren Sproles. And Mitch Trubisky being his Drew Brees. So chances are he's going to go out there and get the head coach that is a lot like Sean Payton.
Yeah. Yeah, she wished that the Saints would have tanked this year, because Sean Payton probably would have been available. Adam Hoge, of course, on the line with us as we talk. 312-981-7200. Text already coming in. Let's talk. And this is a great point by 815. As much talking about John DeFilippo and this counts for Nagy and other people involved here. As when you talk about young offensive minds, is there concern about the coaching staff, the experienced coaching staff that a wonder kid, a Doogie Howser, if you will, would bring to the table. I mean, someone who comes in who's young and obviously has the pedigree and is ready to change Chicago Bears football into a juggernaut in the 21st century. Do they have the experienced coaching staff that comes with it?
It's a great question. Probably depends on not only the relationships that specific coach has built in the league, how long they've been in the league. You know, in DeFilippo's case, he's done both college and the pros, but has been around the pros a lot in a number of different spots. You can either look at that negatively or positively in terms of the network maybe he has been able to build up in Oakland, been in Cleveland, Philadelphia, a couple other spots too. So I would imagine he knows a lot of people. Here's the best example I can bring up, though. Sean McVay took the Rams job at age 31. Who did he hire as a defensive coordinator? Wade Phillips.
Yeah, right.
Who's the second oldest assistant in the entire league, I believe. So behind Dick LeBeau, I think that's correct. Might have to look that up. But he's certainly one of the older assistants in the entire league, and he was able to bring him in. So certainly possible. All depends on who you know and probably to a certain extent who Ryan Pace knows.
You know, the other question I have is that thinking about Matt Nagy, and it's interesting, and even John DeFilippo in Philadelphia, the systems that they run and the talent that they have on the offensive side of the ball and defensive side of the ball in some cases. Do you expect, and we kind of saw this with John Fox, I mean, he brought Danny Trevathan in and other players that he had coached elsewhere. Do you expect a little bit of that as well? Does that factor in when you talk about a Kansas City Chiefs offensive coordinator who might bring some of those explosive talents that might be on the free agent block?
Sure. I mean, I think that, well, first of all, you look at the style, and both of these offensive young gurus that we're talking about right now, John DeFilippo and Matt Nagy, Matt Nagy's directly on the Andy Reid coaching tree, West Coast style offense, which is you know pass heavy, certainly could fit Mitch Trubisky, but you know you look at John DeFilippo, he's now working under Doug Peterson, who came from the Andy Reid coaching tree, so he's getting plenty of that too right now with Carson Wentz. So you're looking at similar situations there, and a style that certainly fits an offense where you do need weapons like that. And I think that this thing is going to really start to evolve and get put to, you know, the puzzle's really going to be put together pretty quickly once they determine who the coach is going to be and how it fits with the quarterback. And then certainly you got to bring in the weapons that fit that offense. So right now there's a lot of, you know, we don't knows, but as soon as you see these styles and you look at their past, we'll know pretty quick about the direction of this Bears offense.
Adam Hoge, of course, covers the Bears from WGN Radio. Find all his stuff at WGNradio.com/Bears. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. It's our Thursday evening quarterback. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and let's talk. I'm interested in what Chicago Bears fans want. You know, we've been down this road
and
with the Mark Trestman stuff where we said, oh, we need an offensive coach. And then we lost that identity as a defense. And we're like, oh, we don't like this kind of football. Would we be okay with a defensive line coach to come in and coach the Chicago Bears with a big, bushy mustache? That's I feel like we might be looking at. Adam Hoge with us here on Thursday evening quarterback. Stay with us.
I would like to thank our fans. I know this hasn't been easy and the results aren't what we all want, but their passion, their support is unmatched, and I can't thank them enough. I'm extremely appreciative to both George and Ted for their continued support. This is not something I take for granted, and I'm going to continue to do everything in my power to get the best staff, coaches, and players in place to make this city proud.
Ryan Pace. It's Thursday evening quarterback here in Download 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman on the line. Adam Hoge, WGNradio.com/Bears, where you can find out all the information and the writing and the podcast, everything that goes into the amazing work that Adam Hoge does covering the Bears. You can also get him at Adam Hoge on Twitter. All right, you know, let's talk about what I mean, you heard it right there. I mean, Ryan Pace talking about apologizing to the fans for another losing season. It's not easy. What do you make of the fans right now? And what's your going back and forth in social media? Are people looking forward to this coaching hire? Is it just another the same? Or are we kind of drained by the process of being a loser in Chicago?
Well, I'm drained from having to hear that same speech from the Bears front office and ownership. I mean, it just felt like the same old thing. I know they have to say that because they have to say something to the fans. But, you know, those type of words don't really mean anything when this has been going on for 7 years, right? And you're going through now your third head coaching search in that amount of time. So, you know, I think the fans are fed up with losing, there's no question about that. But I also think that they're intrigued by this specific head coaching search because of the quarterback, right? You brought up a good point right before the break, Justin, that you can't just hire you didn't really say this exactly, but you really can't just hire a quarterback's coach to be your head coach, right? You can't. Yes, you want to pair Mitch with a great offensive mind that's not going to leave, because the problem is if you hire a good defensive coordinator who hires a great offensive coordinator that gets success out of Mitch for a year, that guy's going to get hired next year, right? Just like Adam Gase did after having 1 year of success with Jay Cutler. So that's the motivation to find an offensive guy as the head coach because you're not going to lose him then. But we went through this with Mark Trestman. You can't just hire a quarterback's coach. He's got to be able to coach a whole team, the whole 53-man roster. So and he's also got to hire a good defensive coordinator, or then the defense falls apart, right? So there's a couple things at play here. One thing I do like about John DeFilippo, the Eagles quarterback's coach, is I got a text tonight from somebody who had worked with him at San Jose State, where he was the quarterback's coach and offensive coordinator for a couple of years earlier this decade. And that person said that he would run through a wall for DeFilippo, loves the guy. And it's those kinds of endorsements that make you think, okay, this guy can command a whole locker room, right? Because it's not just – and he's not even calling the plays in Philadelphia right now, right? That doesn't necessarily mean he's going to come here and be the play caller, but he's still going to have that influence over the offense, and hopefully he can guide the whole team. And so far, the reports on him from that standpoint are very, very positive.
Oh man, it made me just think about Mark Trestman at the end with the offensive coordinator. I can't remember his name.
Aaron Cromer.
And all the stuff that was the dysfunction that was happening in that team. Mm-hmm. And you're right, Adam Gase. He had I love how we think he had a great year with Jay Cutler, what he did, but they were 6-10 that season, and he got a head coach job out of it. But I don't know. Like, part of me is this, I'll speak for fans, and I don't know if I'm willing to. And I love that the Bears have a quarterback, and I love that they were looking and being progressive to be part of the new NFL. But man, doesn't it get you excited when you have a shutdown defense that changes the course of a game? I mean, we're seeing all the highlights of Brian Urlacher put on the ballot for the Hall of Fame, and there's just something about it in the chemistry and the DNA here in Chicago that we want to see. Not just a defense that can manage a game, but we want to see a dominant defense on the field.
That's why I think the best case scenario is hiring an offensive head coach who, I don't know if they already have a relationship with Vic Fangio, but can convince Vic Fangio to stay here in Chicago. I think there's enough interest within the organization to do so. They're going to have to pay him a lot of money. His contract is up. But if you can make that head coaching hire and manage to keep Vic as your defensive coordinator, the players all love him. They don't want him to go anywhere. You can keep building on the success. You've had incremental success the last 3 years, and that could take another step forward next year. They're already in the top 10. They're at number 10. So what you're talking about, Justin, is attainable if you have the right defensive coordinator. And right now, the right defensive coordinator is already in your building. Right. He's just out of contract. So you have to find somebody that can keep him around and convince him with the money. Because if you lock up Vic for another 3-4 years with a new contract under a new head coach, that is going to be a great situation for the Chicago Bears.
Yeah. Adam Hoge with us. We're going to take a break and get to Rob's news here. And when we come back, I want to talk about, you know, obviously all eyes on the coaching situation for the Bears and what's going to happen here with a new head coach. But You know, there has been a lot of talk about this team being ready to make a transition, not unlike what we saw in LA with the LA Rams, that next year they could compete. And I want to get your thought on who's going to be back next year and what you think needs to be improved. Because I've in a philosophy been arguing with friends for the last couple of weeks about what I'm calling the good to great philosophy. That there are a lot of good, serviceable B minus players on the Bears,
mm-hmm.
and at some point or another, we have to have a reckoning to say that B minus is not good enough. Even though they're serviceable and they're great in the role that they're in, and maybe you know people say, "Oh, on paper, this guy's doing great," but it just feels like there are some areas of the Chicago Bears that, if we want to be a playoff team, that position needs to be better than good. If that makes sense. Adam Hogue, WGNRadio.com/Bears. You can find his stuff. It covers the Bears for the station. We're doing our Thursday evening quarterback. 312-981-7200. Where do you want to see the Bears go this offseason, 2018? We'll take a quick break. We'll get Rob's news. Come back. Stay with us.
We have a lot of attractive things about our job, and I think it starts with a 23-year-old quarterback that we all feel good about. Our best players are young players. We have a very healthy cap. We're picking in the top 10 in the draft. We have 7 draft picks. And we also have a facility expansion that we're all very excited about. Will put us as one of the top facilities in the NFL. So those are all things that I feel good about. I know our whole organization and our whole team is excited about. So those are only going to help us going forward.
It's Download here, 720 WGN. I'm Justin Coffin. It's a Thursday evening quarterback with Adam Hogue. Covers the Bears for WGN Radio. On the line with us. 312-981-7200. Jason wants to know why we haven't heard more college coaches being mentioned. You mentioned it a little bit earlier as well, Adam, but the idea of the big coaches like Dabo Swinney and David Shaw and other people like that do so well at the college ranks. And you hear from time to time, year to year, that they're looking to move college coaches up. But this year it's been all NFL assistants.
Well, I think part of that is because these college coaches, and I mentioned this earlier, want to keep it quiet. You know, because if Dabo Swinney goes and interviews for the Bears job tomorrow, and who knows, maybe he already has. I doubt it, but maybe he has. But if that gets out there, Clemson,
yeah,
the whole university is going to, you know, freak out. So those coaches want to keep that more quiet and make sure that it's serious. Now, there are still some benefits for it to leak out. Sometimes it can lead to a contract extension and a little bit of a pay raise where they are. So that's why they usually do get out there at some point. But for the most part, I think that's why it's been quiet. I at some point, you'll hear some college name interviewing for one of these NFL jobs. It almost happens every year.
You heard Ryan Pace there talking about, okay, so we've got 7 draft picks, a high draft pick, other things that are important for the Chicago Bears moving forward. When you think about this roster, and obviously they have had tremendous issues with depth and injuries, some of the stars, watching that Vikings game, I was like, here we go again with this preseason-like lineup that they're throwing out there. But, I mean, there was a lot of trouble spots for this roster in 2017, not necessarily John Fox's issue. Where are we at with that? I mean, do you see this as a strong roster that's signed up? Where are the Bears at when it comes to cap space, where it comes to free agents? I mean, are we in a good position?
Well, you know, first of all, I agree with Pace with the cap, another top 10 draft pick, 7 picks, assuming he doesn't trade them this year. So and the new facility, which the Bears have not talked enough about. I don't know why they've been so secretive about what this facility is going to be. I mean, they put out the renderings, but they didn't hold a press conference, and it was unrealistic for them to expect us to ask a ton of questions about the facility on this press conference Monday when you fired your head coach. So, but it is going to be impressive, and it does help. I think what you said, Justin, right before the news, I totally agree with you. And I went on a rant about this on our podcast maybe a month and a half ago or so, which is, yes, there are better players on this roster now, up and down the roster. It has improved, whether people want to admit it or not. It has improved over the last 3 years, which is why Ryan Pace is still around and why he got extended. But there's not a lot of... I mean, you're not looking at a roster with Hall of Famers.
Right.
There's no Brian Urlacher. There's no Lance Briggs. There's they still need to find those guys or continue to develop them. I mean, Leonard Floyd, if he can get his body right for the NFL and avoid injuries, I think he can have a double-digit sack season last year. I thought that could happen this year, and it might have had he not gotten hurt. So these guys got to continue to get better. But wouldn't it also be nice if whoever they draft at number 8 overall in April just steps on the field week one and is completely dominant?
Right.
They don't have those guys. They don't have the, and that's why I think across the board, no position except maybe quarterback, everything should be on the table. And by the way, you're going to hear me say this a lot between now and the draft. If Saquon Barkley is available at number 8, I would run to the podium and draft him. I don't care if Jordan Howard's on the team. I don't care if Tariq Cohen's on the team.
Yes,
if he
you.
Falls to number 8, he might be the best player in the entire draft. He's a different style, different level running back than Jordan Howard. He would immediately help the offense.
And it's the good to great philosophy. And I know that there's loyalty, and the running back position has been the one that has been somewhat successful for the Bears. But we saw against the Vikings a game that Jordan Howard, I don't even know what he ended up with, less than 20 yards rushing, and it's been that way. There's been a trend in that going in that direction for the Bears running game. There doesn't seem to be a lot of support, and I get it. I get that defenses are stacking the box against Jordan Howard and company, but the praise that's put on the Bears running game, to me as a fan, is a little incomplete.
I completely agree. And look, I like Jordan Howard as a player. You cannot take anything away from what he's done. Two 1,000 yard seasons to start his career, the only Bears running back ever to do that. It's very impressive. But I also, I don't mean to take anything away from him, but he sort of also seems like he's a product of the system, right?
Right.
And this is what we talk about with running backs all the time. It's why you can find good running backs in the middle rounds. Because as long as they're good at reading the holes, well, if they're good enough to be drafted, then they can hit those holes, and they're going to pile up yards. Now, what I like about Jordan Howard is that he always falls forward. He always picks up the extra yards. But I would also question his health going forward. You know, he played through a shoulder injury this year. I admired him for that. You never saw him on the injury report. He just played right through it, and that's great. But how is his body going to hold up over the next few years? And that's a question for any kind of big physical running back like that. So, again, we don't have to get off topic here, but
right.
No position is off limits to me, and that includes running back if Saquon Barkley is available at number
the
8.
The Chicago Bears and Ryan Pace have had a They really seem to be confident in their thriftiness. We have seen moves in the offseason, two offseasons, Ryan Pace, where he's gotten bargain deals on free agents who, you know, like we saw with Marcus Wheaton or Kendall Wright, or I think about Quinton Demps, even Mike Glennon to an extent. People get mad about his $18 million contract, but that's what you have to pay a starting quarterback in the NFL, and the idea they can get out of these contracts. But it's always about the idea that he's combing and he's finding the right an efficient and thrifty deal for the Bears. They have a ton of cap space. Does the fan base and does the thought go out and get superstars, playmakers, people that you pay money to come play for the Chicago Bears?
Well, I would not be surprised if they get a little bit more of a splash on a single free agent this year. It's not like they haven't had these talks. You know, they were in the talks for Stephon Gilmore, the cornerback, last year, who ended up in New England. Janoris Jenkins the year before, cornerback. And eventually just got to beyond the price range that they were comfortable with. And I respect that because there are most free agents don't work out. They just don't. You have to overpay in free agency. And even if they start well in year one and year two of their new contract, the lifetime in the NFL is just so short that you're already, when a guy hits free agency, he's already 4 years into the league. So the right. chances of him making it another 4 or 5 years, which is what these contracts run, just percentage-wise, they're not high. So I actually really like Ryan Pace's free agency philosophy. Now, you'd like to see the hit rate much higher, but if you're not going to pay the big money, your hit rate's going even lower than what it normally is, which is not great. But I would much rather be in this position. As long as you're drafting okay, of, all right, this one didn't work out, but bye, costs us nothing next year, which is what most of these contracts are. That allows you to take more shots next year. Because we just got out of this situation. Remember when the Bears signed Jared Allen? Another bust. But Jay Cutler had to renegotiate his contract already. They had to put more money into his signing bonus. This was just the last contract he signed, that huge one, just to free up enough cap room to sign Jared Allen, who then didn't work out. So they were, their options were limited, and when they did go out and get a guy, it was somebody who was already over the hill, and they had to move the money around to make it happen.
That whole thing, because they let Julius Peppers roll on that. You know, he went to Green Bay, and he had a successful career in Green Bay, and he's still playing. He's in the Carolina Panthers in a playoff game. And he, and watching him hit Aaron Rodgers at the end of that game, it's just like, it's terrible that we wouldn't pay that player, but then we went and paid the same amount of money for Jared Allen, who didn't work out in Chicago. But, I mean, yes, there's all those stories. But I also think about, I'm a little bit conflicted in whether or not Ryan Pace and the concept of approaching free agency the way he has worked, because Marcus Wheaton could go down as the biggest bust in free agent history. That dude had, what, two catches all season? I mean, and he was supposed to stretch the field. You start to see these players that you're like, I mean, even I think he's got to be on the hook for, and I know it's hard to say because of injuries, but Jarrell Freeman, the inside linebacker, hasn't seen the field more than a couple games in two seasons. Marcus Cooper, was supposed to be a starting cornerback. I don't know what happened to him, except we finally got to see him play and commit penalty after penalty in the game against the Vikings. Quentin Demps didn't see, what, he played one game? He got hurt and he was two games and he was out? I know that that's injuries. I understand that. But it just seems to me that I don't know. I would think that there'd be, I mean, I think of even teams in our division who've had better success.
It was a bad year for Ryan Pace and his free agents. There's no, I mean, I was having this debate with a few guys in the media room on Monday. I mean, if you just even started a debate between which one was worse, Mike Glennon, Marcus Wheaton, Marcus Cooper.
Right?
I mean, that's a hard debate.
And he got an extension. You know what I mean? Those are terrible NFL players. I mean, and they're probably nice guys, and they probably are way better, and a lot of it's luck and things like that, but that was they did not work out in Chicago.
No, all three of them were brutal, and then Deion Sims was the other big one. He was okay, but didn't really do,
anything.
I mean, if I asked you to name a Deion Sims moment, can you do it from this season? No, he can do it.
He had a little bit of success with Mike Glennon, right? Like, he had a little chemistry there, but none with Trubisky.
No, and his blocking was suspect at times too. So he's got to improve. There's no question he's got to improve with his hits. I'm just saying I don't hate the philosophy. Although, like, if you got to pick and choose your battles, but if there was a no doubt about it wide receiver this year, which I'm not sure there is, by the way, the timing might be right to go out and get Mitch, one of those guys, right? And risk it a little bit, but that's why you have the cap flexibility to take your shots as long as they're calculated.
Let's take our – well, you know what? We'll keep going because we got one break here. But let's transition into the draft class because you can make an argument that this was a good draft class in the sense that all the players that were drafted from the 2017 class, they made an impact on the field. The team was 5-11. Made a lot of rookie mistakes. For all the good, there was a lot of bad, including the quarterback, the franchise quarterback. Where does it stack up, the draft class from 2017 after the first year?
I think very promising. You know, they drafted five guys. Four of them were on the field a lot this year. You would have liked to see Adam Shaheen on the field more, but I talked to him on Monday a little bit about just the physicality of the league, and he's going to be working on that in the offseason. Remember, he came from D2. I think that's a valid excuse for him, that he wasn't quite ready from a physical standpoint. So he's got to have a big offseason. I think we saw flashes that he could be pretty good. And he's got great chemistry with Mitch Trubisky already. We don't really need to talk about Mitch. Everyone's seen what he did this year, but Tariq Cohen, most explosive playmaker on the entire team, probably.
Yeah.
That's very encouraging. And Eddie Jackson, for a rookie, I mean, he had one bad game in Philadelphia. It was a really bad game, but otherwise was really steady and at times made some huge plays, too. So that's encouraging. The fifth guy, which has been the forgotten guy, is Jordan Morgan, the offensive guard. And he came from a smaller school, too. Ends up taking a redshirt year with a shoulder injury. Don't really know if he can help going forward because we don't know much about him. But I'll tell you what, the Bears have a need for guard on their offensive line. They have a need a couple spots on their offensive line. So, you know, maybe with a redshirt year, he becomes something next year in training camp that we see develop and becomes pretty good. You know, Charles Leno was like that. He didn't do much early on the practice squad for the Bears and all of a sudden emerged when Jermaine Bushrod got hurt. So it's not unheard of.
312-981-7200. There was a question about Shaheen. We just talked about Shaheen. Jose on Twitter says, any way to keep Fangio, pair him with Nagy or LaFleur. That would be perfect. The question I have is will you be expecting, if we do take one of these whiz kids to come in their early 30s to be the coach of the Chicago Bears, do they call their own plays? They do the sort of Doug Peterson, Sean McVay kind of thing where they take on the role of the offensive coordinator as well as the head coach?
It's possible. You know, I think Matt Nagy's interesting because Andy Reid was calling the plays, and they're, as he pretty much has most of his career, and their offense started to sputter in the middle of the season. So Matt Nagy before that was just, you know, coordinating game plans and things like that during the week, but was not calling the plays, and Andy Reid gave him the play calling in the middle of the season, and all of a sudden the Chiefs bounced right back, and now they look pretty strong going to the playoffs. Probably worth watching the Chiefs game this weekend, Bears fans. I would watch the Chiefs game, look at what that offense looks like, how it's being called, because Matt Nagy will be calling those plays. As for John DeFilippo, Philadelphia, he's the quarterback's coach. He's not calling the plays. In fact, Doug Peterson calls the plays there in Philadelphia. So Frank Reich, their offense coordinator, is not even doing it. So I don't know what these guys would want to do if they came here. DeFilippo was the OC in Cleveland a couple years ago, did call the plays. I actually have that on my list of things to do. I want to go back and watch some film from that season to see what their offense looked like. But, you know, they could, or they can make a great offensive coordinator hire and have someone else do it, which I don't hate. In fact, I kind of lean towards that. I like my head coach to be worried about the game and making smart game decisions and actually for once make... Wouldn't it be great to have a coach here in Chicago who could call timeouts correctly and challenge plays correctly? Because it seems like that's just not possible in Chicago.
When we talk about the free agency, I don't know if you call it class, but just the market that will be available this offseason. Is it a strong one? I mean, are there a lot of players in the NFL that are out of contract that might be possible? And are there some that are even in the rumors of going to be cut from their contract?
You know, I will I'll just be 100% truthful here with the coaching search. I haven't
dove completely
into the free agency list like normal. I did look at the wide receivers a couple weeks ago. Jarvis Landry could be in there. Davante Adams was an option from Green Bay, but they just re-signed him to a big deal. I seem to remember there was
a couple of the Jacksonville Jaguars receivers.
That's who it was. Yeah. Robinson from Allen Robinson.
Who's on the IR, right?
Who they could franchise. That was a guy who I think is a great fit for the Bears if the Jaguars don't franchise him because his value could be lower because I think he tore his ACL this year. So he's going to be coming off an injury, but put up some really big numbers the last couple of years and just sort of fits that Ryan Pace value type pick, I think. But they could franchise tag him and take him off the market.
312 wants to know about Kyle Fuller. Huge year for him. And you heard some of the people, I think it was during the game, the announcers were talking about Kyle Fuller being a possible franchise tag candidate. Where do the Bears stand with Kyle Fuller? Because before the year, we weren't sure he was going to make the team. And now he seems to be the best corner the Bears have.
Yeah, and I don't hate how the Bears handled this. I mean, they really put the pressure on him to have a good year in a contract year. They didn't pick up his fifth-year option. There was really no reason to do so last spring when that deadline came up. They signed Prince Amukamara. They signed Marcus Cooper. They said, hey, you're technically on the twos now. You're lower on the depth chart, Kyle. You got to play your way up. And he delivered with a strong season. So now the question is, how does Kyle Fuller react to that? And I think, you know, in his mind, it's probably going to be right now, how badly do they want me? You're not going to get a hometown discount now because of how you challenged him this year. That's just how it works, and that's fine. So now you got to pay up if you want to keep Kyle Fuller. I don't know about the franchise tag because you're going to have to pay more for 1 year. It could be on the table. We'll see.
Yeah.
But I think Kyle Fuller's season overall was a little overrated. Didn't you find it a little interesting how teams kept throwing at him?
Yeah. They really, like every and over. It felt like every week they were looking and saying that's the weak spot for the Bears.
Now, that being said, he did have a really strong year, yeah. And he's still young, and I don't think you can afford to give up a young cornerback.
And
like
I gotta
that
say, he will be one of these guys, and we're looking for these playmakers. And you and I have talked about how the Bears defense just cannot find the ball. whenever it's close near they go for knocking it down or not turning the ball over. But Kyle Fuller comes up in the run game. He seems to have his number called a lot in games when it's third and four and he's making a play. And that was the part that we look for as fans to say, who are the numbers that continue to be called?
Yeah, and you know what? I love his run support. That goes back to his time at Virginia Tech. I remember Phil Emery raving about that when he drafted him, and I went back and looked at the tape, and this guy was flying in. That's why a lot of people thought he could be a safety in the NFL. So I think Kyle Fuller's done enough to stick around here. And I here's the thing you have to keep in mind. You guys just played the cut. I mean, Ryan Pace is up at the podium talking about how healthy their cap situation is. What kind of message does it send if, once again, you let another one of your first-round picks, I know that Ryan Pace didn't draft him, but another first-round pick walk out the door to another team when you have all that cap space that you're talking about? It just does not send the right message to that locker room, and they got to find a way to keep Kyle Fuller, in my opinion.
You know, when you think about playmakers, and I think about this defense, from Vic Fangio's defense, when it was healthy, you had outside linebackers and Pernell McPhee and Leonard Floyd mixed with some really, I thought, some stellar play when healthy from Danny Trevathan. The Bears, although at the end of the season, I saw Sam Acho on the field who played admirable. I think it was Lamar Houston was back. A lot of names that weren't necessarily household for the Bears defense on the line and in the linebacker situation. Their depth obviously challenged. Is it possible you see the Bears go out and find another playmaker at that position, at the outside linebacker, to rotate or possibly move on from someone like Pernell McPhee?
Absolutely. In fact, I would say very, very, very likely. I think Pernell McPhee, his time with the Bears could be over. His contract's not guaranteed going forward. But then you're talking about losing Pernell. You're talking about losing Willie Young, probably. You're talking about losing Lamar Houston. That's an interesting situation. Now he's back and played well at the end of the year. But these are all guys who are older, right? And have dealt with some injuries. So that really just leaves you Sam Acho, who is a fine player, but not really a pass rusher.
Right.
And Leonard Floyd. So this all of a sudden becomes a position that you have to address both in free agency and in the draft, in my opinion, maybe even with that number 8 overall pick to start with. And I would say, yes, in free agency, they're going to go out and add some depth to that position because they need pass rush help.
Yeah. When's the East-West game?
The East-West game is in 2 weeks, I believe, because the Senior Bowl is on the 27th, so the East-West Shrine game will be on the 20th.
So those are the games that we have to watch because a lot of the players in the Senior Bowl and the East versus West game, they are players that possibly could be drafted by the Chicago Bears. And we'll have you – I want to talk about the draft and what to think about. And I love the fact that, you know, there are games that we can watch to actually evaluate with our own eyes. And you do a great job of setting that, teeing that up for us. So we'll have you on before those games actually get played. Adam Hoge, of course, the man who covers the Chicago Bears for WGN Radio. You can find his stuff at WGNradio.com/Bears and all over the air and on Twitter at Adam Hoge, one of the best. And, of course, joins us all season long for the Monday evening quarterback tonight, the Thursday evening quarterback. We will check in and, of course, tell the story of the offseason of the 2018 Chicago Bears. Thanks, Adam.
It's going to be a wild couple weeks, Justin. Thank you.